Welcome everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPW, share number 103. That's Be'ez Hashem's share for women, share number 103. To create goals and review your goals in a marriage between the two of you is an essential component to every marriage. Even before two people agree to marry, they meet to see if they're suitable life partners, and part of that task is to establish to have common aspirations, common goals. Generally, a ben and bas Torah have a vague concept of building a Jewish home, and then they go into details with it, and as they grow in their first year of marriage and further, it starts gelling what their goals are and the life expectations and how much togetherness are they expected to share, how many household responsibilities do each one expect to take on. Even the more mundane, seemingly mundane things, would be involved in decorating the house, what sort of foods, and so on. All these things, the deep goals, the more day-to-day type of goals, there's many, many goals. And they could decide they have many goals in common. And after living for several years, sometimes what happens is the priority somewhat shifts. So, for example, in the beginning of the marriage, maybe the wife originally felt very supportive of her husband's heavy schedule. Of his learning and his say siddurim and whatever chassadim he does and so on and so forth, and the wife was very supportive of it. But now, a couple of years later, when you have several young children, that changed her values somewhat, because now she needs and prefers a husband that would be home more often to relieve her of some of that burden of childcare and to share in that. And that's a healthy goal change, and the husband needs to understand that that's a goal change and that there'll be a balance in that way. Another example that possibly could change is in the beginning of marriage could have been this non-materialistic notion that she was, you know, happy with less in the physical items that she needs and so on and so forth. But now that the family's growing, she wants to buy a larger dwelling for a growing family. She wants more new clothing. Could be she wants more quality food. It's not an unhealthy thing. It's not becoming more materialistic, but there is a realistic realization that money now is more important to her than it used to be. And again, it's not a negative, but these goals need to be addressed with one another, how things changed subtly over the time. Or sometimes as a kallah, she thought she would be fully happy by being just an ideal balabasta, like they say, in charge of the children and interacting with the children in her house all the time. And now she feels, no, I need also adult companionship. Or I need to go to shir. I need some diversion of some sort of either a hobby or a part-time job, whatever it may be. So these are examples of shifting goals that take place in a marriage pertaining to a wife. A husband also, the goals and value systems somewhat change and mature as you go through the life cycle. In the beginning, he may have thought he could make his life in Koil and Chinuch, and maybe after a couple of years, he feels he does need to enter in business. Of course, you ask a Rav, a Shaila, and you work it through. Or some men may become more involved in their chosen field than they thought they ever would, which surprises their wife, but sometimes it disappoints them because their focus now on the career sometimes overrides their family, the life things. Others discover they're no longer motivated in their work as they used to be, and they disappoint their wives with their lower aspirations of that, and so on and so forth. So these are somewhat surprises that sometimes go along in the marriage. It's not realistic to think that even though you have a general overall goal that's unique, it's very rare that your whole personality changes. But these types of changes do happen, and what if you don't talk about it and you don't have communication, then what's going to happen is each one will be shocked at those changes in the goal of the other, even be angered by it. Therefore, it's very important in the frequent review of life goals and priorities, which removes that type of shock, to basically talk to each other, you know, I feel somewhat differently about different things now, and they talk through it and they work through it. That's why it's very, very important that a husband and wife, from time to time, they make a decision and they talk about those type of discussions, either with a formal meeting or non-formal discussion and so on and so forth. If they really, all of a sudden, something happened where they dramatically have several major life goal changes, then they need counseling. Then they need to talk over with someone, an outside objective party, that they could, you know, work those things through if it seems to be pretty vastly different. Here's an example. As, for example, the husband may feel, I want to have Shabbos guests every week. And the wife feels, no, I don't. Shabbos is only time for the family alone. Maybe once every month I'd have guests, but I don't want to have guests the other three Shabbosim a week. Those type of differences will not make or break a marriage. And you could have a lot of marital happiness and simcha, even when the two of them disagree over an issue like we just said, or other issues. The idea is to communicate the differences of opinion and work through the differences. What's dangerous is not the differences of opinion or differences of goals, but the unspoken, or spoken only in body language, the non-communication that leaves the tension and disapproval inside, instead of expressing out in the open what they will agree to disagree on. Once it's in the open and they agree to disagree and they work out a compromise, it's workable. Almost everything is workable. You know, her husband, she gives that wants his underwear ironed. His mother used to iron his underwear. And a wife will say, sorry, I don't do that. I did it for the first year of marriage to accommodate you, but I don't want to do that anymore. So a husband should have common sense to say, you know, just because my mother did this doesn't mean my wife has to do this. And they safely agree, just let that go. It's a minor issue. There's no need to sacrifice, make a big deal about those type of things. So there are minor priorities. That was just one example, but there could be many others of minor things where it just makes the most sense to let it go. And or they could make a compromise, sometimes have guests only one of the Shabbos meals, and the other time no guests, or alternate, or whatever. I mean, these things are things that could be worked through. Another thing that promotes marriages very much and creates a closeness if they learn and grow together. The spiritual connection of soul, of neshama, of idealism in that way. To learn together halachas, to learn together. Now, in some, we mentioned this before, and Bain Sein Schaefer, in his book, acknowledged that with his own wife it didn't work. Because he himself is a mechanech, and then when he was learning with his wife, it seemed more like a Rebbe Talmida type relationship, and it didn't work out. And so, you know, in those situations, it's not always conducive to learn. You know, you have the other way around too sometimes, where he's in the business world and she is a mechaneches, and sometimes that pairing makes her like be as the teacher sort of, and some husbands, their personalities don't really align with that, and it may not work. So it doesn't always work where they could learn together like that. Arya Pamensky is another one who also said that he also had to be careful the way he learns with his wife. So it's not for everybody, but if it's possible and doable to share just basic undertakings of learning together, just simple Chumash or Nevi'im or Tehillim or Medrash, there's no shortage of Torah material that they could study together or listen to a particular shir together or something like that. That creates a tremendously beautiful quality time bond. And they could talk it over, and they could work it through. Listening to marriage shiurim, I know, helped. By the way, the joint shiurim, I don't mean to just unplug it, but people have said that listening together on working on some of those these are helpful. But it could be just overall Torah too. Overall discussions, overall hashkafa discussions. Sometimes they have an interesting podcast that they're interviewing a special person that did tremendous chesed in the community, and they're both listening, and they could share ideals, share interests in spirituality and their yearnings for spirituality and their ruchnius. That's also a good, healthy way of connecting. So this is the idea. So if it's possible to work through and learn, then it pays to do that. If there's glitches in the way, you work through it. Or you work out what exactly could be aligned in doing this in a good, healthy way. So we basically reviewed the bulk, and we pretty much completed the general points in the book Eze Kenegdoi by Sarah Hannah Radcliffe. And she has at the end of the book a chapter called Eze Kenegdoi, and the idea being that Bein Adam L'Chaveray talks about the importance of Bein Adam L'Chaveray, and it's understanding that if halavai it should be this way, and husbands need to learn this, to take care to make sure to honor their wives the way they're supposed to. Because if they do, then bracha comes into the house because of her, which means because of you women. Hashem has bracha in the house because of you, parnas in the house because of you. But so the husband, obviously, we talk on that side of the mechitza. So again, so of course, the husband needs to recognize the bracha comes from you, and he needs to make you happy. And he should always be joyous. He should love you like himself and honor him more than himself. And it is sad when it happens when a husband is not yet at those stages, or there's challenges, and it is difficult. And of course, with this, you need a good friend, you need counseling, you need to work through these things. And she talks about certain ideas of how to cope with those situations if in difficult marriages. We gave shiurim that discusses potential difficult marriages, but we didn't go as much into depth with it as we should, and ultimately we really should. But the idea is that, you know, you need guidance, a certain degree of acceptance, but not resignation. Not resignation. It's not a matter of just accepting things and becoming a doormat like that. It can never be like that. An acceptance means that you realize there's a challenge here, and you work through it as best as you could. And you daven to Hashem, and call to Him. Karev Hashem l'chol, karev l'chol ashekru ve'emes. Baruch Hashem, most wives don't live with terrible husbands, and most husbands don't live with terrible wives. There's abusive situations that are still out there. May Hashem protect everyone from them. But the idea being is that to always see what we can do to make marriages better, to realize that there's always challenges, even in the best of marriages. And the idea is each person on their own to do the best they can. There's an Ezer Kenegdoi just in general, going back to regular marriages, that the Ezer means you help them, and the Kenegdoi is important too, but Kenegdoi is not a matter of attacking, it's a matter of more uplifting. Seeing that difference, and you see something that your husband really needs work on, and you find a tactful way to give him the encouragement. But again, you know, in a way, you know, in an encouraging way, but to lift him up. And it's okay and even healthy to point out things that, you know, they need to work on, or something you're not happy about, and you know how to do it in the correct, right way. And that kenegdoi, and we talk about it on the husband's side also, to learn how to accept when you say something that's wise, that you're not trying to be judgmental of your husband. You just want them to be better. And you mean it from the bottom of your heart, and you mean it sincerely. It may not always come out the way they, you know, they appreciate it, or the way they take it, but they need to learn to take it the right way. If it's coming from a truth, and it's coming from a willingness, you know, to, you know, and coming from goodwill, not from attacking, but from goodwill, lets us both become better. And part of it also is to look ourselves in the mirror as well. You know, we need to work on ourselves at the same time that we're trying to help others work on themselves. And also rely on the Bini Yisera Hashem gives you as women, as wives. You have that ability to know how to build people, even with the kenegdoi aspects, to use your own fine midas, your own internal chesed, to bring a light to your family, to be a light to your husband, to be a light to your children, and to everything around you and anyone you interact with. Bracha v'atzlacha.